Well, hello. Good morning. I noticed that the crowd is getting a little smaller on the Friday morning after the attendee party compared to the earlier days for Tech Ed there. So thanks for making it out. My name is Andrew Aronsing. We also have William Lee from Polycom here. And this morning we're going to go over the meeting changes in Link 2013. I'm going to do my best to keep the slides to about 15 to 20 minutes. I've asked Lohit to wave if I start to go any more than that. We get excited sometimes as we talk about some of the new features. And the goal is after that to basically walk through a Link meeting. We'll do a ad hoc meeting experience. We'll bring some folks in via IM. We'll add some audio. We'll add some video. We'll bring in some Polycom units to the meeting, right? We'll do some OneNote screen, some OneNote capabilities around that as well. I just kind of show you the whole ad hoc and scheduled meeting experience that we have for Link 2013. But before we jump in and show you all the features, first of all, of course, all this is subject to change. If you haven't seen the slides yet, I'm sure you're getting pretty familiar with it by the fourth or fifth time we're showing that one. So, of course, everything here is subject to change, but this is live beta code. We'll be showing you the both the Link 2013 client and the user objects that we're showing you are actually on Link 2013 server running as a backend environment. So first, the goal of Link, right, is not just for enabling communications. We use it, we talked a little bit about phones yesterday and using it as a dial-in or dial-out phone number for a user, whether that's a soft phone client or a voice over IP phone. But the common use case at Microsoft and what we're seeing for the customers that have started to deploy Link 2010, specifically with dial-in audio conferencing, is that of sharing someone's screen or sharing some content, whether that be a Word document, a PowerPoint, for example, or just a screen capture with AutoCAD or a line of business application on it, with around 3 to 8 people or so, with some audio added into that session as well. We find that to be, I probably spend 50% of my day, or if not more in some cases, on one of these Link calls or Link meetings where there's just a group of us collaborating around something. And the goal really is to make that as simple as possible, so there's no additional software, authentication process, right, basically to remove any barriers or obstacles to allow people who are in different locations, or even for some of our Redmond folks, people who are lazy, I guess is the word for it, right, that don't want to leave their office but find it just easier to share their screen out with someone 2 doors down or 6 doors down as well as somebody in the next building, and kind of reduces some of that churn or latency for getting people together. So in terms of collaboration, we really see that as the focal point. There's been a lot of investment in both the Link client and Link server platform to kind of enable that collaboration and ease of sharing content between folks. Whether they have the Link client, like we said, or now going to things like just a web browser, as well as mobile platforms to ensure that everyone who you're inviting to that Link meeting will have that same rich experience as everyone else. So as we say, right, the goal there is not just people in your specific location, right, but across the globe, essentially. We'll bring some people in from the U.S., so we know we have some high latency requirements here. I like to do these demos, we call it a little bit naked, right? I go through the contact list and find people who are available. So I'm using the capabilities of presence, right, not kind of scheduling some specific people or whatnot. In some cases, we'll have some folks who have worked with me before on it, but try to bring people in from all around and show you that kind of live ad hoc meeting experience. Again, it's with Link 2013, we've realized in the use case scenarios, it's not just about sharing your screen or other content, but really trying to make that sharing process something that you don't go to Link for. And so we're starting to enable or bring the capability of sharing directly from your Office application. So when you're in Word and you have some questions about a section of the document, or you're in Excel and you have some questions about the numbers, right, the goal is to be able to go from that Office application and bring in the appropriate person and have them see the content, see your screen, see that application, and then have that collaboration or that discussion, whether that be based with text, if the other person's busy or cannot talk, or adding audio or video if you need some additional context, and text isn't quite the best way to go through that. There's two ways, really, to kick off these Link meetings. We have both a ad hoc experience or spontaneous experience, as well as a scheduled experience. The interesting piece here was with OCS 2007 R2, we had two different meeting interfaces. We had the live meeting client, and we had the OCS 2007 R2 client. And so people that wanted to schedule a meeting where content was being shared out, or when to participate in something where content was being shared out, would typically schedule the meeting using the Outlook Live Meeting plugin. They would send out a calendar appointment. There'd be a join link in there, a phone number for someone to join in from an audio device, and people would join that call. So in the time of OCS 2007 R2, we saw about a 2-to-1 to 3-to-1 ratio of scheduled meetings to ad hoc meetings. The ad hoc meeting or spontaneous meeting experience just wasn't quite intuitive. We saw that people typically use a scheduling process to create that. That was not part of the ad hoc meeting experience. That was a surprise. I even saw some glitter coming down there for a while. Train of thought, where were we? So with OCS 2007 R2, we saw this about a 2-or-3-to-1 ratio of scheduled meetings to ad hoc meetings. With Link 2010, one of the main themes was to make that ad hoc experience simpler. So we unified or brought together the live meeting client and the Link client into a single client experience. So now you could take an instant messaging session, you could do a screen share, you could upload a PowerPoint, you could add content, for example, you could add audio, you could add video, and you didn't need to change from the client or send any links out, for example, for people to join. And as a result, about 3 to 6 months after we had deployed Link 2010 widely, we saw that ratio of ad hoc meeting or scheduled meetings to ad hoc meetings flip. And the ratio now is about 2-to-3-to-1 ad hoc meetings versus scheduled meetings. And so instead of people setting up a calendar appointment and having everyone join at 10 o'clock, right, I start the process. I'm in a document or a presentation that I need to have some questions on, and I ping someone on IM, I bring them in, they see the screen, we add another person who else has some feedback or data points relevant to the discussion at hand, we get the answer, 15 minutes later, right, that call is done, and we're off and running. We less calendar time being chewed up and kind of a faster or more relevant time to get the actual task at hand completed. One of the changes, also, as we pointed out, we had discussions in the last couple sessions on it, was the concept of scheduling. Today, your scheduling process has to be done via Outlook in Link 2010, but we understand that a lot of people are using OWA, specifically around tablets and or mobile devices, and so we've added the scheduling capability for Link meetings to Outlook web app for Exchange 2013. And so now the scheduling experience also can be done purely from the web. We're not requiring that rich client experience for that portion. So let's take a quick run through. You saw some of these in Paul's session earlier. So like I said, I'll go through this relatively quickly if possible. The big meeting changes that we're announcing is, one, the concept of HD video support for meetings. So we supported up to VGA video in prior versions, depending on the number of users in the meeting and whatnot. But now we have the concept of both multi-party, so you can have up to 5 visible talking heads on the screen. You'll have a little action bar along the bottom of all the other participants. You can move people dynamically from that 5 talking heads down to the more static pictures down below, as well as a codec change. We've moved away from using the RT video codec has been supplanted by H.264 SVC or scalable video codec. This has a couple advantages. One of them is the concept of having nearly all mobile devices and tablets having H.264 hardware encoding and decoding built in. That means that we don't have to use the minimal processing capabilities in a lot of those devices, and so therefore we get a higher quality video experience. The second one is a reduced CPU load on the actual AV MCU itself. With H.264 SVC, we're able to actually just have one codec stream being emitted from the AV MCU, but have that codec actually dynamically changing the frame rates for some of the endpoints that are joining the call. So rather than having the AV MCU have to adjust the frame rate for all the participants, it's something that can actually happen down on the codec downstream from that, and therefore reduces some of that processor overhead required. Video and content sharing, as we said, we still have the concept of active speaker detection for video, so you'll see kind of the five talking head portions around there. Being able to pin people from that feed of static pictures up to your five talking heads, we'll kind of show you that process if I can find five or six people who are awake and available on Link at this point in time to show us how that process will work. The other part to this is the Link 2013 client has done a lot of work to make video kind of a first-class citizen. And so in the past, like, you'd start your video, but the video stream would then start broadcasting to all the people in the meeting or the conference, and you didn't see what you look like until after you started the video stream, for example. With Link 2013, when you hover over your camera setting on that, you'll see the preview of what your video looks like. You can comb your hair, adjust, you know, your glasses, or do any sort of, maybe change the lighting in the room, for example, so you can see what your video looks like prior to sending it out. We also make video as the focal point of the meeting experience, and so you'll see a different default as we start that conference or meeting experience in terms of the people joining, and kind of the it feels more natural to add the video experience to the call versus kind of having that little pop-in window that we saw above the IM tray in the Link 2010 and previous clients. So finally, or one of the other changes, right, is around Link Web App. We understand that not all endpoints or people participating in the Link experience are going to have the Link client. A lot of them also probably will not have the Link Attendee client, which is a download and an installation package I'll run on their machine. Several of, you know, others will be coming in from non-Windows platforms, whether those be MacBooks, right, or some other operating systems out there. And so the goal was to enable that Link experience to be effective not just from a full rich Link client, but also from a standards compliant browser. And so we support Firefox, Safari, and Internet Explorer in terms of being able to join and have that meeting experience coming in from the browser as well. For people and content, we've added capabilities around that. We've discussed the concept of the WAC server role, essentially one of the Office or SharePoint back office products, which is coded or written by the Office folks themselves. And so the rendering capabilities from something like PowerPoint are much more fluid and much richer from what we've seen from the Link team doing development to do things like sharing out PowerPoints or doing capabilities such as an embedded video inside of the PowerPoint that we want to play and have that video streamed to all the attendees in the conference. Looking at the capabilities, we show the video capabilities by the client. So we have different applications, essentially, right, that can come in and display video. One of them, of course, is the Link 2013 desktop client. That's the one that has the full capabilities of Link at its disposal, so we can see all the aspects and capabilities of Link there. Link 2013 VDI is another area where we've announced some changes and had some additional support. Now we have the capability, for example, to do peer-to-peer video, conference active speaker, for example, in a VDI environment. And the process around this is we actually have a little plugin that runs on the VDI endpoints to ensure that that media is flowing directly from the endpoint back to that peer-to-peer person or the Link AV MCU and not flowing back through the VDI server host itself. And so by offloading that traffic from the VDI server host, we're able to maintain that richer quality of experience from a VDI infrastructure perspective. Web clients, we're actually, when we do the demo, we're going to have one machine on one screen kind of showing you the full Link client. The goal will be to have the second machine actually joining via a browser, so you'll see that meeting experience coming out from the browser side on the other screen. So we'll show you the Link browser experience on that side. We've also announced that there will be a Link 2013, and it looks like I forgot to change the name. It's the name formerly known as Metro, now the Windows 8 user experience. It's funny how you can look through the slides about 20 times and catch everything, and as soon as it shows up on the stage, it pops right out, and you go, how did I miss that one? So we've renamed the Metro branding. It's now the Windows 8 user experience, or the modern user experience, but we'll have a Link client for that interface as well. And so that will show you the using the modern design aspects of Windows 8 and the user interface controls, we'll be shipping after RTM a Windows 8 modern client for Windows 8 devices that will also be able to participate and join in those Link meetings. In terms of collaboration, or our ability to share content and screen sharing and view PowerPoints, for example, we have similar capabilities. Again, the Link 2010 client or 2013 client, right, is going to give us the most feature-rich aspects around this. VDI and web will have most, and we continue to add or iterate features around those to make those experiences as close as possible to that full client experience that we have. With Link Server 2010, about a year ago or so, we realized that when we did our initial testing on Link Server 2010 back in 2008, early 2009, about 4 years ago, we had lesser hardware in terms of platforms and processor CPU capabilities and hardware available to the Link team to do testing. And so therefore, when we ran through our testing, we found that the kind of the maximum optimal meeting size was around 250 participants. We've had a lot of people request to do kind of the all-hands company meetings and want to have meetings that were larger than 250 participants. And so about a year ago, we re-ran testing on Link 2010, but on current hardware, not 4 or 5 year old hardware, and realized that by designating a specific pool to the purpose, we're able to actually have meeting sizes up to 1,000 participants. This guidance around 1,000-person meetings will carry forward to Link 2013. We will update the 1,000-person meeting document for Link Server 2013 to show you what the specific settings will be. But in general, we believe it'll be along the same principles. Dedicate a specific pool for Link Server 2013 for large conferences. Follow the settings that are outlined in the large meeting guidance document, and you'll be able to have these meeting experiences that exceed the 250-person limit that we recommend in Link Server 2010 by default. The other, we kind of mentioned it earlier, but the other experience around meetings is the start from office, right? So start working in your Word document in OneNote or PowerPoint or Excel or the line of business application that you're using, and then move to sharing that content out with participants from natively inside of the document. Don't schedule a meeting, right? You don't have to go to Link to start the process. That sharing capability is starting to become embedded in your line of business or office applications themselves. We mentioned the capability around PowerPoint and the WAC role for doing things like streaming audio and video and having a richer rendering experience. So what we did is we put together a couple slides to kind of show you how that process actually works inside of Link 2013. So first process, right, do you have a client that wants to share out some PowerPoint, or upload a PowerPoint to share it out? User will actually go and upload that. That will upload to one of your Link front-end servers. At that point, the Link front-end server will come back with a broadcast URL, or the URL that clients will use to download that content. At that point, the client will register that URL and go out to the endpoint, which is actually going to be one of the WAC servers or one a server in the WAC farm, potentially. At that point, the WAC farm sees the URL, knows how to reach back to the Link server environment, pull that actual meeting content or bring it into the WAC role itself, and at that point, start showing that content to the attendees that are part of the meeting. The content, when we upload it, is still uploaded to a file share. We support DFS now in the file share for 2013. And so you meeting content will be uploaded and stored in that file share location, encrypted with the meeting owner's capabilities or presenter capabilities, and then stored for the expiration interval that you set inside of Link. For attendees, they'll get the broadcast URL from Link as part of their registration or joining that Link meeting process. They'll go to that URL, which brings them to one of the WAC server roles. It has the file, and it will show that slide then for the attendees who are part of that conference. Optionally as well, both attendees and presenters can download that content locally if they wanted to keep or archive the meeting content for themselves during the meeting or after the meeting is over. The other area that we find is since Link is typically being used to hold these ad hoc or scheduled meeting experiences, we wanted to find, and when people have meetings, one of the most common scenarios is for them to take notes. And so typically we would have people taking notes, right? We would have, if there's six attendees in the call, we might have three different people taking notes. The I think the phrase in history, right, the victor always writes the history books, and typically the person who takes the notes is the one, those written notes are the authoritative content of what occurred during the meeting. So the goal was really to make that note-taking a little more collaborative. And so by having this concept of a shared OneNote experience, we can have more than one editor essentially taking notes, and we'll expose the Link attendee list and roster of the meeting inside of OneNote to have this stored repository or shared repository of notes that occurred during the session. The OneNotes themselves are not stored inside of Link. They're not part of that meeting content that gets uploaded to the server, as that would expire periodically, and usually meeting notes are kept for a longer period than 30 days or whenever you expire your Link meeting content. And so the OneNotes are stored in your OneNote shared location. That can be SkyDrive, that can be a SharePoint server on premises, that can be any sort of share that you've configured or set up to enable multiple people to share or collaborate on a OneNote notebook. Once you set the permissions on that, you'll have people able to then co-edit or co-author those OneNotes as they go through that Link meeting experience. We'll spend a little bit of time on the demo for that, so I won't spend a lot of time watching that. But basically, you have a meeting organizer. Meeting organizer is going to share out that meeting request. In this case, we're showing a scheduled meeting, right? So we send out an Outlook meeting request. We've got some an organizer, some presenters, and attendees. Once the meeting kicks off, the meeting organizer, presenter, and attendees who have access to that shared OneNote will have a multi-editor capability. They'll all be able to dynamically update that OneNote, see the meeting roster and other capabilities. Post-meeting, they'll be able to have access to that OneNote, either read-write or edit, or read just read, for example, depending on what the presenter or the OneNote owner has shared out for those meeting participants. The other request that we've gotten is that the Link meeting invite, people wanted to customize that, for example, add meeting legal disclaimers, for example, or a specific URL to go to a help desk or support center site to have if you had questions or problems joining the Link meeting. And so now, in Link server control panel, we give you this capability of being able to specify some of that custom information so that as people get the Link meeting invite and a scheduled experience, they'll see that additional information for your organization in that invite itself. So with that, I tried to keep it to about 15, 20 minutes of an overview. Let's see if I can make the demo work on two screens. Demo, wait. Oops, let's see, that's why. Screen is going to sleep. Split. I like that little shifter. All right. So we have the demo machine on the other side. On this side, I'm going to come out of PowerPoint, and we'll join up via our browser. Bring that over here so you can see it. All right. So first thing we're going to do is start a kind of ad hoc meeting experience. So let me go find some folks who are available in Link here. We've been able to borrow Mr. Scott's wonderful little Windows 8 tablet, which is kind of one of the convertible keyboard plus tablet experiences, with Office 2013 installed. And so what we have is Link 2013. Here's the Link 2013 client. We've got Outlook and Office 2013 installed. I happen to have Outlook running, so we can do the scheduled meeting experience to kind of show some of the capabilities there. And we have OneNote. So we have a little OneNote that I've called Link Demos, right? We've got a little tab called Link Meetings, and we have some pages around that where we can have some meeting notes and a shared experience. So let's look for some folks who are available for a demo. First of all, right, when we have the Link client, all of many of the same features in Link 2010 are still there. We have our presence. Mine is currently set to busy. We actually have an option when we're presenting, so if I say duplicate on here, it can notice that we're sharing the screen and automatically set it to a presentation mode, which is a do not disturb. I've actually backed out of that because when I'm set to do not disturb, that will negatively impact some of the other folks in the demo trying to reach out or connect to me. And so when joining calls and things like that, we want to leave that set to busy or available so they have that capability to come through. Location is still there. This is where we'd use, if I was on a managed network, I would be able to determine automatically that I was in building X or specifically possibly even, you know, floor X quadrant, northeast quadrant. As part of a emergency services or location information services for the emergency providers when placing in the U.S., a 911 call, for example. We also have the concept of people, right, our conversation history. Looks like I've got quite a bit there, and a dial pad. So first we're going to start out at the people side. I tend to use a lot of groups to organize folks. I can use groups that are custom, right, so I can right-click and create a new group. Give it any name that I want, or I can drag a group from Outlook, or one group that's in the global address list. Here, for example, we've got the U.S. Communities UC Captains, and I can have a distribution group from Outlook added into Link as well. So I have a combination of both ad hoc groups as well as the distribution groups in the Link side. We also have our audio output devices. I've got a little speakerphone that I've got attached here, which has slightly better audio quality than the built-in microphone and speakers on the tablet itself. That also has a jack for the audio video folks here, so we get a little better audio in the client. But to switch between devices, if I also had a headset plugged in, for example, this is setting my primary or my default device. It notices that the little Polycom speakerphone is a higher quality than the built-in mic and speakers, and we'll use that as the one. Hey, there's Mr. Dan. I told him I might be doing a demo, so let's accept his conversation there. Yes, we are. Thanks for volunteering. Let's see if we can find some more volunteers. That was pretty good timing, Dan. I told him I might be on here doing a demo in an hour or so. So not only do we have the capability, right, of looking at the group, so if we take a look here, right, we can see the presence information that's flowing down. This machine is relatively new. It's just been refreshed, so I don't have all the pictures cached locally on the device yet. But for folks that have pictures uploaded and where the pictures have downloaded already, we'll see the photos that the users have published. We can change that, right? If I click on my photo, for example, there's the option to show or hide. And I can edit or remove picture, which makes it a little, if I had the capabilities, right, or if my IT department allowed me to do that, to modify or customize that to something that I might want other folks to see. So let's go back. I also have, we can see down here, simultaneous ringing turned on. Usually we'll get a local SIM card in countries we travel to. It's significantly less expensive than the international roaming rates that are typically applied. And then turn on simul ring. In this case, people who then call me at my Link number in the US will ring a cell phone here in New Zealand that's associated with my +61404320247 phone number. Oh, Dan's found a volunteer. It looks like we have Renette there as well. He's actually building a little meeting for me on the side. This guy's a little eager. all right, Dan, let's... So they're saying they don't hear anything, but so while I was trying to show you the Link client, we'll make use of our ready and willing demo participants here. So let's show you what happens in this IM conversation. You'll notice, first of all, right, we don't have the concept of that. In Link 2010, we had a little attendee list, and it kind of showed the modalities of how they were joined and what was going on. With Link 2013, we're trying to get that concept of emphasizing pictures and video. And so now the attendee list, or the roster, in this little IM conference right now is showing the pictures. We can see Renette's picture's on here, Dan's picture on here. Dan doesn't have his picture on here. And we would show the roster using a photo view or a video view as well. At the bottom, what we've got is our modalities that we can do, right? So first of all, we have the traditional phone icon. That will be used for turning this into a call. And I can do a call using a Link call or potentially dialing out to another conference or audio bridge, for example. In this case, we should be able to do a Link call. So let's add some audio to this conference. When we do that, we see that traditional roster experience coming back. And so I see Renette's photos coming up, probably because she has a picture and Dan doesn't. Hey, folks, how you doing? Is this Dan and Renette? Hello.
Yo, Andrew.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm not Andrew, I'm Renette.
Hey, Renette. How are you doing as well? You're on stage here in New Zealand, actually, with a lot of folks looking at you. So thanks for...
We're in a live demo, and Andrew's driving.
Yeah. Did Dan tell you you're in a live demo, Ramit? I'm not sure. I was pinging Liam Colvin as well here. So here we see the roster,
that's
right? We
can
see.
About Jamaica, isn't it?
Pardon?
I should have known better. I couldn't believe you about anything.
Well, thanks for joining, folks.
The volcano went off in Jamaica today.
It looks like there's quite a bit of latency actually going back and forth here. My mic isn't working.
Tomorrow.
Why is my mic
is
not working?
Week?
Oh, yeah, that's next week.
Let's try that. Mute, unmute, and see if that fixes it. Hey, Dan, can you hear me right now?
Off of mute. Maybe he's having microphone problems.
Yeah. So he's also seeing the notification, right? So other parties in the call, one of the changes is showing that as well. Let's.
So he can't hear us?
Oh, I'm sure he can hear us.
I can hear you.
He said he was doing a live demo.
Yeah, he's in a demo. I think he's like...
Let's go back. So since they can't hear me yet, I don't know if they can hear me now.
Well, I'm not believing another word you say.
Can you hear me now?
He is in a demo, though.
Hey, Dan, Renette, can you folks hear me now?
We can't hear you, Andrew. Can you hear us?
We can hear you. We can hear you. Come on.
Can you
clearly. All right, let's try.
Oh, that's good.
Mute.
So, Renette, we can talk about Andrew.
Yeah, this is nice because, yeah, this is the part where we can talk about him and he can't answer back.
That's right. Just kidding, Andrew.
Let's go see which device I'm still. Let's try switching here. Hey, Dan, does that help? Let's see if I can. Hey, Dan, does that make it any better?
That's perfect.
Oh, there we go. So I had some probably driver issue, it looks like, with my Polycom device. It's the first time I use it on this computer. So switching to the built-in speaker and microphone on the netbooks here appear to have solved our temporary audio glitch problem. So, hey, glad to hear you guys. I could hear you talking for a while. At first, I just thought we had some high latency between here in New Zealand and in the U.S., but I didn't realize that you weren't able to hear me, so.
You're in New Zealand?
We're in New Zealand, well.
Wow. Fantastic.
Where are you at right now, Dan?
I'm sitting in my home office, and I'm not sure where Renette is. I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Awesome.
I'm in my home office in Cleveland, Ohio as well.
Excellent. So here we have a live dynamic call, folks kind of halfway around the world. Let's see if we can find some additional folks. I think, I like to do this little look for people who are available, right, and see if they want to join the call and kind of join them in an ad hoc environment. So I know that Liam had talked a little bit about this before, too. Let's find Mr. Colvin. Is he still online? Oh, he went offline. So Liam is not available for a demo. Oh, Scott says, pick me. Nothing like having that IM pop up or the little toast, the toast, right? If you're not aware, we call that a toast because it looks like the toast popping up out of the toaster. So let's bring Scott into our meeting experience as well. We'll take Scott's contact card, drag him over to our participant roster, and we just invited Scott Schnoll. Are you down in the...
I just pinged Jason Crane, too. He might be able to join.
Okay, Scott, you got to mute your... Mute your microphone over there so we don't get the feedback loop in the room. All right, so we have an audio call established now, right? But let's see if we can add some experience here. We've been saying that video is one of the enhancements for Link 2013. And so one of the first things, right, is when I hover over the video icon, I get to see my video before I add the video to the call. So in this case, I can see the light is tolerable, right? It's still my face, so no matter how great the light is, right, it's not going to be the same. But let's go ahead and turn my camera on and add some video into this discussion. So there's my video popping up. Hey, Dan or Renette, are you guys able to add video here as well?
Yeah, I can add video.
Awesome. What I'm not used to working on is such a small screen real estate.
My life that's you, Andrew.
How do I add
Andrew.
Video?
How are you guys?
How do I add the video?
Who's that?
Hey, there's Dan Jornby. I see Dan coming up now. Hello, Dan. How you doing?
Hi, guys.
Looks like you're working out of the home office. Let's see who else is coming in via video. We got Dan's up on video. Jason's paused his. Oh, we've got Neil invited in. Renette's paused hers.
Hey, guys.
Scott's paused his.
No,
awesome.
I'm trying to figure out how to unpause it. How do I unpause it?
Click and says we're starting my video.
So it's going to end my call. Okay, here it goes.
We're also doing a interop scenario here. What we have are some of the folks coming in with the Link 2010 client. Some of the folks are coming in with the Link 2013 client. So I think if I look through, I'm not able to tell who's who, but we'd have to ask the folks on the call what their capabilities are. The other common scenario, right, is for us to share something. And so, Dan, do you have anything you're working on right there that you could share out with us and see we can see what you're working on, help you maybe get through some of the work you're on today?
Absolutely. So just at FYI, I'm sitting at my desk here, and I've got two monitors. I'm going to go ahead and share my second monitor.
Excellent.
All my secret stuff is on my main monitor. Just FYI, as far as an audio device, I don't know if you can see it or not, but I'm using a Polycom CX600 telephone. And let's see. It's right there. You can kind of see it in the background.
Hey, Dan, since you kicked off this meeting, and this is FYI, right? One of the, let's see what Dan's sharing out. When Dan kicked off the meeting, Dan has currently not yet been enabled for Link Server 2013. We can tell because we don't have the multi-party video capabilities, right? We're seeing active speaker switching at this point in time. I can also tell because when I go down and see the meeting options, right, if I wanted someone else to be able, the meeting join info. Meeting entry info, I can see that this is Dan's meeting from Dan's URL inside of that. And so if I wanted to invite, for example, my computer to be a participant in this and show you the Link web app capabilities, I can. However, I'd be showing you the Link 2013 portion. So Dan, I'm going to invite all of you to a scheduled meeting in this case, and we'll do that on Link Server 2013 so we can see some additional info. But here Dan's sharing a screen, right? We see full interop between Link Server 2010 clients, Link Server 2010 backend folks, as well as myself, who's on Link 2013 and a Link 2013 client. And Dan also does something that we strongly recommend, right? If you have a multi-monitor setup, it's always nice to share out that second monitor in Link 2010 because it hides, for example, those little IM toasts or email toasts that might pop up on your primary screen and show everyone in the call. Internally, we have this process called TQA. TQA is something we do in the pre-sales process before the customer gets the quote. We make a separate set of eyes review it. It's also known as a relatively painful experience at times because we're trying to ensure accuracy in what we're estimating and providing out. And the sales folks are always pushing for more rapid, you know, to get that information out as rapidly as possible. So I do a lot of TQAs in my role where I'm trying to help ensure higher quality, right, on those proposals that head out the door. And the sales folks are always complaining about it. So we've got the salesperson going through his Word document and statement of work, and he's doing it on his primary monitor. And while he's sharing it out, and there's six or seven of us on the call, one of his coworkers pops up in IM to him and says, "Wow, these TQA bleeps are really bleep, bleep, bleep," right? Which, unfortunately, everyone on the call can see it because we're all watching that primary screen. So in general, if you have the chance to use a secondary screen, that provides it. But Link 2013 also has the capability where when we see you're presenting on your main screen, we can put you automatically into presenter mode, which will block those toasts from occurring on your primary screen. And so we've enhanced that understanding that not everyone's going to have a multi-monitor setup. People still want to share, but we'd like to ensure a little more privacy in that sharing experience so you don't get into those awkward conversations about seeing something that wasn't meant for everyone on the call. All right, Dan, so I'm going to invite you and Jason and Neil and Renette and Scott into a Link 2013 meeting so we can see what that looks like from a video and sharing perspective in 2013. I'll be right back. So let's kill this meeting. Dan was so excited, right, to share and participate in the demo that he kicked it off, not realizing that it actually kind of limited the demo experience for some of us. So let's do the same thing, but have me kick off the meeting. And so I do Dan Jornby. I'm watching time here as well for us. We'll pick Dan. Oops, I lost the window. There's Dan. Oh, there's Barry as well. Looks like Barry sent an IM over. Oh, more meeting attendees. Hey, excellent. We got lots of folks volunteering for demos here today. So let's bring Barry into the call. We can. These are just one-on-one conversations, right? You're also seeing here the tabbed IM conversations. So in Link 2010, every IM conversation was a separate window. In Link 2013, we show all of your Link conversations in one window with the tabs along the side. If I want to, I could still break it out. We have the capability to do it. Or I can turn one of these peer-to-peer IM conversations into a conference by dragging, dragging Dan into Barry or Barry into Dan. Let's do this. No, hold on. Let's do it from over here. Barry Stefanis. He's not coming through. All right. He's in a meeting. Well, let's do a call first with Dan, and then we can make it happen. Oops, I didn't mean to call his number. I want to actually call Dan's via link. So if I hover over the phone, right, you saw the options of how I could reach out to Dan. By default, we'd be calling Dan's work number, but in this case, we're going to try to just do a link peer-to-peer audio call. So,
hello, Andrew.
Hey, Dan, how you doing there? All well? And let's go and invite some more people. We want to bring in Barry, for example, here. Scott has volunteered for us. So let's add Barry. Boom, we've got some additional folks coming in. And you see that my peer-to-peer audio now dropped for Dan for a moment while we spin up an AVMCU session on the link servers in Redmond and go ahead and start that conference call with the other folks. So now we see Barry's been invited, Dan's been invited. We've turned that from a peer-to-peer call into a conference. So let's also go and ask Mr. Schnoll. And Scott, if you get your fingers ready to mute that microphone so we don't get feedback, that would be great. Drag Scott in as well. So we can do it either by inviting people like this or just dragging, drop them into the conference. There's excellent, Scott. That was nice and quick. Appreciate that. So here we have a multi-party audio call, right? Let's take a look at what that looks like when we start to add video in a Link 2013 client. So now you're seeing the multi-party video experience, right? We can see my videos coming up there. I see Barry's got the bright light in the background giving him the infamous black head, right? The outline. There's Scott coming in from the front row. We'll see if Dan turns his video on. He'll be able to join here as well. Oh, there comes, and Dan looks like has invited Renette to the call. We can see this meeting's kind of dynamically expanding as folks come through. But now, here we have multi-party video. We see all the folks inside from the video stream. So Dan did an example of screen sharing, so we know what screen sharing looks like. But let's take a look and see if we can do some other types of collaboration, right? Let's say we're having this call and we're having some discussions. We want to take some notes. I can present, so when I have my share icon on the bottom, I see here the options for desktop, program, if I want to share out just a specific window or frame on my desktop, PowerPoint, whiteboard, poll, have some of the traditional options for meeting experience. Attachments allows me to upload content to the meeting, which then the other participants can download or view. So rather than emailing it out and starting a separate thread, we kind of keep that content around the central meeting experience. Jump back to OneNote, though, right? Let's do a OneNote. We'll do that on shared OneNote, and go ahead and start off a OneNote session. I like to put mine in my Link Demos environment here under a section called Link Meetings. We'll use for this demo, and so I'll spin up a little OneNote session that happens to come up on the side. So here we have a OneNote coming up. It's going to pull some information over from Link. OneNote knows that this is part of a Link conference. So we're able to see and kind of have additional information here showing in OneNote as well. So are you able to see and some people can't see what I'm presenting because some people here have not yet upgraded to Link Server 2013. OneNote sharing, for example, is one of the ones that is going to be relevant for the folks who are on Link 2013. For the folks who aren't on 2013, however, I could also just go and share let's go back to sharing again, present, right? And share the screen or share my desktop, and now they'll be able to see it. Now, meanwhile, while I was going through and adding that desktop experience for the folks who don't have 2013 so they can see the note-taking, and FYI, right, now people can see everything on my screen. I'll hit OK. We can see that OneNote is going to build a dynamic roster of our meeting participants. We see all those folks on there, and I can take some notes inside of the meeting. So here, let me see. This is second meeting around the demo. And it's slow. It's Scott, your little tablet is not the fastest meeting experience here. Watching the that's coming through on the same pace on mine, so we're watching that flow through. But so I can add some notes into the OneNote. Other participants who have access to that OneNote can add notes dynamically as well. So I don't know if Dan or Annette or Barry, you guys can see the OneNote out there, but anyone who has access, if you guys want to put some notes in there so people can see, we'll be able to show that capability as well. So I'm going to stop presenting. That will save some of my bandwidth capabilities. Let me find the cursor here. That's coming. Come on. It's on the side. You can see it on the corner, but as I get close, I lose it. There we go. It's thinking. So I might have overloaded the tablet's capabilities. We are on, and to point out, right, we are on non-RTM code yet, so non-performance optimized. We will wait. We know it will come back. And I'm also going to turn off video, I think. Video is definitely slowing us on the side. While Link is thinking, we also want to show the Outlook scheduled capabilities, right? So if I... Wow, it's really slow here now. I think we're going to just exit this meeting. I think we've taxed the resources on this device to the maximum extent. Oh, there it goes. So here's Outlook. Outlook, we have this similar capability. So let's add a, we can see we have a meeting here, meeting improvements. Let's add a new scheduled meeting, new meeting request. Oh, give Scott control, sure. You have a faster PC down there, Scott. You can help go through. Dan's coming back. Scott's in control. One of the other capabilities, right, is to give other people who are in that meeting control so they can drive the screen or drive the cursor in my environment. Even if you have control, Scott, you'll be driving on the slower computer here, so I don't think it's going to be the optimum experience or the optimum side. Lots of spinning hourglasses. All right, so here comes a standard meeting request, right? And we'll show you quickly some of the options you have around scheduling meetings. So first of all, we invite some people. Let's invite Scott Schnoll. Scott Schnoll, for example. Dan Jornby. If I can type Dan's name correctly. There we go. And make it an online meeting. So when we click on the link meeting button, we'll get the link meeting information automatically out of the calendar. I'm sure you're all familiar with how that process works. Actually, we're gonna close that meeting. Let's try if we can, it's just spinning and spinning. We've exceeded the capabilities there. Come on. There we go. This is the one we want. Yes, that's the one I want to go. Yes. Okay. Meeting will continue for other folks in the background. Scott can participate and explain to them why I had to exit the meeting because my computer didn't have the resources, essentially, to keep up with that. So now we click on the link meeting button. We should see a little more timely response. We will have the meeting information coming in. But a lot of people aren't familiar with the concept of some of the meeting options that you can specify and what those options have around link meetings themselves. So here the meeting information has been added, and we now get the meeting options dialog box. One of the things I want to point out is that by default, link is a reservationless meeting system, meaning that every time I start a link meeting, my conference ID is always 930-9295. That means if I schedule a meeting from 10 to 11, and another one from 11 to 12, people who join early at the 11 o'clock one will join into the 10 o'clock meeting, right? It's the same meeting ID for that. Obviously, this is not an ideal scenario if I have different groups of people that I don't want to commingle or join on the same bridge. By default, I'll just use that as my standard one. I could put it in my email signature, for example, and say, join my bridge. Everyone hops onto my default bridge. But there are times when I have back-to-back meetings or when I want to have a secure meeting or a meeting with a different set of credentials or authentication coming in, right? I want to change that. So by going to meeting options, Here we have the two choices, right? The first one is my dedicated one. This is less secure because anyone can go and join this, right, who has that bridge or meeting invite, either from an old invite or a current one on my calendar. But when I click on a new meeting space and then hit OK, we can see in a moment here that that conference ID just changed. And so now we have a separate, unique instance. This 52737975 is specific to this individual meeting. So only people with this bridge will join to that specific meeting instance on the MCU. Of course, we have significant other options as well, right? So who gets in directly? Is it only me, anyone from my organization, people I invite? Do I want to play meeting announcements? Who's a presenter, for example, inside of the meeting? Do I want to mute people or block attendee video inside of the meeting? What are the phone options, right? So in this case, we might want to actually pick a location closer to our current location versus dialing into the U.S. in terms of specifying the phone numbers. And so we have this option of who has access and who's a presenter in the meeting. But the most common one and the one that a lot of people overlook is this concept of being able to separate out and provide a unique meeting experience for those meetings that you want confidential from other people. So it's relatively straightforward. End users can do this. No additional reservation or conferencing portions required. So that's the quick summary of the link portions. What we also want to show you is it's not just about the link meeting experience. So here's my computer coming a little bit back to normal. We see Scotch Knoll on there, right? So I've got folks in my contact list who are part of Microsoft. I've also got folks who are part of other companies. And so if I look back at my groups, one of the groups, for example, is we keep a list of a lot of the Polycom folks that we work with pretty closely. Some of these are people who work directly for Polycom. I can bring them up on IM, for example, start an audio or a video call with them. But others are things like room-based systems. We have an example here of a CX7000. This is a Polycom hardware device that actually is running a version of the Link client. What that means is that it can register natively to Link, no gateways essentially required between the device and a Link endpoint. So this one is actually registered out against a Polycom tenant in Office 365. We at Microsoft are federated with Office 365, so we can see those endpoints or devices as well. This one is specifically called Katie Jordan. One of the other aspects to this, and I was going to say, Michael, do we need to power, is it powered on? Are we good to go from a join perspective? All right. So one of the other aspects, right, is a lot of room-based systems start out with remote controls today. But when you're joining a Link meeting, people are kind of used to the concept of a keyboard and mouse. So these come with keyboard and mouse to kind of show you that capability. But what it means is that I, as a Link user, or the Polycom system itself, right, can join or start a video call without knowing IP addresses or any of the codes, for example, that we might have through traditional methods. So start a video call. I should be able to call Katie Jordan, which is actually the endpoint registered here on the device. And we'll see if it wakes up. There we go. It is waking up. And there's my video being sent over. And we should see video coming back this way as well in just a moment and as it kicks off. While it's doing that, I also want to turn this into a meeting. So I'm going to bring Scotch Knoll into here. I meant to bring up the web browser and forgot to show you that. So let's do that as well. Let's bring Scott in, turn this into a conference call. So now I've got a room system, right, with two people who are on computer devices joining that video conference. So if we had folks in the room, 5-6 people in the room, be able to see Scott and I joining from wherever we happen to be located during that point in time. So here comes the video call. Because once it turns into a conference, what I get, Scott's going to quickly mute his microphone again. Thank you, Scott. So we can see now, if you see on the screen, right, we're seeing all of you. If you wave, if you're close to the front, you'll see yourself popping up. And I'm kind of waiting for the, there we go, here it comes. What I want is the meeting entry information. And what I'm going to do is send this to myself on the other computer. Back to mail. Chugga, 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 chugga. Let's invite Andrew Aronson. And here's my join URL. Oops. I didn't make the join URL all the way down. Shift home. Wait. Not Andrew Strasberg. It is slow. Andrew, EHR. There we go. And here's a link join URL. Control enter as I wait. Yes. And yep, let's send that even though it doesn't have a subject. I'll minimize Outlook. We'll go back to the link meeting. So here we have a conference, right? In this case, we've got computer participants. We also have a room-based system. And when we bring up a mail client on this side, as it comes through, I'm waiting for the mail to flow. While I'm waiting, we can actually probably start typing the URL. It might just be easier. Entry info is join, and the end is Z03QVORF. Here it's come through. So I'm going to copy the URL, paste it into here. And so on this computer, I have, we're not doing the dual. Let's do the split. Add the split. Has the link client installed. If I enter this URL into the browser, I will automatically join from the link client. But we don't want to join from the link client. What we really want to do is join via our browser. And so we have an option, which is /?, SL equals 1. If I put this little, it's a technical trick, SL equals 1, it says use a Silverlight client. What that means is that this device will join via a browser, not via the link client. So we're able to show you that browser experience. If I didn't have the link client installed, it would default to that browser experience because that's all that's on the computer. So here we have, when we type that in, link web app. Let's put a name. We'll call this Andrew's guest because I've invited someone on the internet. And let's join the meeting. And let's mute my computer and mute my microphone. And we want to run the little plugin. First time I've joined by the browser on this computer. Comes, allow, and coming up from a browser, right, we'll have that same meeting experience as the other participants. So joining the meeting, and we'll wait for that to join. Let's go back. I can then close my join information. So we see Scott's video, we see my video, audio coming through to Scott's PC, and in a moment, we'll see that information also coming up on the browser client on the other computer. So here comes video in a browser. We see the endpoints loading, and we have that link meeting experience. If I were to share content out, such as desktop, for example, right? Here we go. There's the video launching full screen over in the browser. People can see my screen. I hit OK. We'll see the screen sharing content coming over in a moment or two as well. So we have the browser experience for joining clients. We have the full link experience for joining clients. And we have the concept of bringing in other non-native endpoints, for example, to a link call. Thank you. Took a while, and the tablet is a little slow down here, but apologize for the hardware resource constraints on that one. But we are able to show the experience at the end of the day of what it will look like at RTM. So thank you very much. Questions?